Coming up on Chasing the Natty, one of the most exciting developments college fantasy has ever seen was released this past week, and that is the first ever underdog college fantasy contest. Many are wondering how this new fantasy option works, so we're going to break it all down for you today. We'll discuss the rules of the contest, what differentiates it from Fantrax Best Balls. We'll also be hitting on some early bad ADP values in the contest, and we'll be finishing up by participating in one of Underdog's best ball drafts. We've got all of this and more coming right after this.
Look at Chinty go! Breaks a tackle! He's 10! He's touchdown! Cook's gonna throw the deep ball, and Burton cut the defense! Luther Burton! Milroe gonna run it again, got a lane, kicked in the turbo, Milroe! Goodbye! Touchdown, Bama!
This is Chasing the Natty, a college fantasy football podcast. All right, welcome in everyone. This is Jared Palmgren, host of the Chasing the Natty podcast. Hope you guys have a wonderful ride to your work on this Monday morning. We are the College Fantasy Football Podcast on the Campus to Canton Podcast Network. You can find us on all of your podcast feeds and on YouTube every Monday morning during the offseason at 6 a.m. sharp. If you want to support the great work we're doing here, head on over to campuscanton.com and subscribe there with one of our phenomenal tiers. You can have content ranging on all sorts of college football games, whether it be CFF, Devi, C2C, College IDP, College DFS, Underdog, Best Balls, anyone. If you play it, we've got content, whether that's tools, rankings, pretty much everything you need to succeed. If you want to get in touch for whatever reason, you can find me on the show on Twitter. I'm at CFF underscore Jared, and the show is at Chasing the Natty, and the handsome fellow not possessed by some demon here is at Ethan Sowers on Twitter. Ethan, welcome to the show, man. I'm so sorry. My voice just kind of got so garbled there for a second. How you doing,
You're
man?
You're totally good. I'm good. It's a great time to be a college football degenerate in this day and age with the new college football EA Sports game and Underdog obviously dropping these new Best Bowl Mania contests. It's definitely exciting and plenty of content to be generated around both of those things, so it's great.
Oh no, absolutely, for sure. I've been having an absolute blast playing CFP 25 this past weekend. A lot of people are doing the rebuild a certain team and everything like that. I've always wanted to have like the coaching story, you know, where you start off as an OC at a small school program and then you kind of build your way up and everything like that. That's where I'm going on right now. I'm on year three of that dynasty run. I'm currently the offensive coordinator at Michigan State, was formerly the offensive coordinator at Kennesaw State. So it's a ton of fun. What I've learned in this game is that if I ever in real life ran the Veer and Shoot offense, I would have a top three running back in college fantasy every single year. I don't know. Maybe I'm playing on too easy of a difficulty. I'm playing on All-American, but I just can't not have my running back run for 150 plus every single game that I play. It's absolutely
no,
insane.
Completely. It's the running game in the new version is just so dynamic. I love it.
It's so fun.
Yeah, I'm usually an air raid guy, but I find myself running a whole lot of halfback stretch runs here. So it's a great time.
Yeah, and again, that's one of the exciting things that's happened to us this past week. The other part is the just suddenly out of nowhere a drop, and we had about a week of forewarning here, but Underdog releasing their first college fantasy contest out there, and we will kind of break all of that for you guys down today on what it is, how does it work, how is it different from Fantrax and those best ball leagues that myself and others in the community have been running. We will get into all of that here in just a second. I think we're going to go ahead and make our way over there. But first, you guys know what we got to do. Got to hit up a couple of these announcements. And got a couple of news stories that we got to talk about that related to college fantasy. And then we'll get to all that. But first, a couple of announcements. Again, first and foremost, go check out the CFF guide over at campuscanton.com. Myself, Ethan here, Chris K, Nate Marquise, Justice, and plenty of others have put in a ton of work into this guide. It breaks down all 134 teams, 200 plus player profile, ADP sample mock drafts in there. We got schedule analysis. We got defensive analysis this year to kind of really help you guys plan out what you're doing with your DSTs throughout the seasons. If you do play in a league with those, it's only $20, absolutely worth it. In my opinion, easily the biggest bang for your buck in the community in terms of how much content you get for the small price that it is at. In addition, go check out the latest Defending the Natty episode. I forgot to change the graphic here. Not episode 6. Again, obviously go check that one out as well. But recently, Nate and I released this past week episode 7 of Defending the Natty, where we tried to predict a year out what the first round of a 2025 CFF Dynasty startup draft was going to look like. And let me tell you, that show was a ton of fun because Nate and I were constantly surprising each other. We both thought going into it that we would roughly have the same people in the top 12. I think looking at my list here, yeah, we only had 6 of 12 people that we agreed on would be first round picks. So lots of disagreement, lots of great discussion in that episode. Go check that out. In addition, go check out our CFF draft live streams on YouTube every Sunday. If you're listening to this on Monday, you will see the latest episode where I got Shane Hallam on. It was a great time. Go check that out. With all that being said, Ethan, before we get to this, we got a couple of quick news items that we got to touch on here. I should have touched on this first one last week. Completely slipped my mind when I was making the show notes. But Blake Anderson, officially now fired at Utah State. There was a couple of weeks ago, they mentioned that he was put on leave. It was expected that he would be fired with cause for some, what it sounds like, mishandling of some sexual assault cases. We will go into the details of all that because there's still a lot of details kind of coming out about it. So we don't want to say anything that, you know, might be untrue, just rumors, things like that. Regardless, he's officially fired at Utah State. From a CFF perspective, we have to adapt here, right? So quickly, quick rundown. Again, Anderson's out. Nate Drayling, the defensive coordinator, has been promoted to head coach. And some of you might be wondering, oh, that's kind of troubling, you know, offensive system we love, defensive head coach now. Well, Kyle Cefalo, who was previously the co-offensive coordinator, has now been promoted to full-time offensive coordinator for the Aggies. He spent 3 years at Utah State, two of them as the passing game coordinator, wide receivers coach. And like I mentioned, last year he was promoted to co-offensive coordinator. Before that, he was the wide receivers coach at Arkansas State for 4 years. Basically, he's been with Blake Anderson for 7 years now. So for me, if you're worried about the system, I think you should breathe a little bit easier in terms of they should be running the same style of system. Obviously, Anderson won't be there. We don't really know what Cefalo is like as a play caller, but you would think you'd try to kind of keep it mostly the same, especially this close to the season. So Ethan, your reaction to all this, how is this impacting guys in fantasy for you? Obviously, like Jalen Royal is probably the biggest one, but even other Utah State players.
Yeah, I think for the most part, it is business as usual. The transfer portal being open for these guys is definitely the biggest kind of thing to watch. But we're at a point where, you know, summer camp's starting to roll up and things for the most part seem to be pretty locked in from a roster management standpoint for most of these teams that I don't think we're going to get a ton of action. Jalen Royals is the one guy who, you know, his production dictates that he could probably transfer to just about any lateral team and step right into a healthy role. Now, granted, we like this Utah State offense because of what they've been able to do with him in the past and players like him in the past. So any transfer is probably a step down for Royals. But at this point in time, you know, it sounds like everybody's pretty much staying around and going to stay Aggies at this point. But just something to keep an eye on. Moving forward, assuming that we don't get any big transfer news, I think I'm still in on Royals and, you know, this passing attack. I don't think anybody's out there drafting many other pieces. I know Robert Freeman's got some buzz earlier this offseason, and, you know, other Aggie wide receivers are usually on watch lists this time of year. But, I think that, you know, Royals is the guy who we're really interested in, and assuming he stays put, it's not much change in my book.
Yeah, I went back and looked, and because again, you know, you lose your head coach. I mean, that is a pretty big deal for that program. Like, let's not sugarcoat it. But at the same time, right, I went back and looked at my rankings, and I just can't really justify moving Royals down more than a single spot in my rankings. Again, there's other guys that, like, yeah, I could argue, I could tell myself a story of, oh yeah, this ends up being a disaster for Utah State. They completely fall apart without Blake Anderson there. But given the fact they have guys like Cephalo coming in, staying put, he knows the system that they've been running there the last 7 years he's been with Blake Anderson, right? I don't really expect there to be much change, like you said. And so I ended up moving Royals down to my wide receiver 5, and I had one wide receiver move ahead of him due to another story we'll talk about here in a second. But it was kind of like both of those things combined ended up making the change rather than just this one deal. Because again, the top 5 wide receivers in college fantasy for me are like almost in a tier of their own. And like, well, again, this is a big deal. Like, it still isn't enough for me to really drop Royals out of my top 5 wide receivers. Because again, like, despite everything, I don't see how this impacts his ability to get 120 targets again this year. And yeah, so I'm not too worried. I don't think many people should be worried. Again, like I said, the biggest thing would be if he does transfer. Obviously, that's a whole different deal. But you can't know until you know with that, right? So,
for sure.
Other big story, this literally just came out this morning. Again, another very serious topic that we're not going to speculate on too much is exactly what happened. I'll just tell you the facts of what we know. Stephen McBride, wide receiver out of Hawaii, arrested for felony assault. Apparently, multiple sources have alleged that he shoved a woman while she was holding a baby. There's no other details that have been provided on there, but obviously, given the fact that he was arrested, should be a pretty good indicator that this was not a good situation whatsoever. Again, remind everybody, this is a silly developing story, but it's pretty clear, I think, that things don't look good for McBride. Again, felony assault is a very serious charge. And quite frankly, in my opinion, there's no sugarcoating this. He's officially a do not draft until further notice kind of deal. This isn't, not to downplay other misdemeanors and stuff like that, but we basically know what comes with like a DUI, right? We know what comes with certain misdemeanors that players get involved with, but felony assault is a pretty big one. And depending on the details of this case, this could end up being just a thing that blows over in a couple months, or it could be something that keeps him out for the entire season. And so in my opinion, because of that wide range there, no way you can draft him right now. So Ethan, your reaction to this, and I guess the question becomes, because this is a college fantasy show, like, how does this impact other guys on the roster?
Yeah, I generally agree with your statement on do not draft until further notice. I mean, obviously, I think, you know, if you're in a late round of a draft and you're looking for a flyer, there's a chance that something like this, charges get dropped or something, and we see little to no effect. But I mean, it doesn't look good. It's definitely not something you want to hear. 4 weeks before week zero here, before Hawaii's first game? So. Mm-hmm. It definitely seems like there's going to be some fantasy fallout with this. I was looking around. I know Phil Steele provides his depth chart at the beginning of the season, and I remember us finding it odd that Stephen McBride was not found anywhere on the depth chart. He was actually a third behind Jonah Pinoak and Alex Perry at his outside wide receiver position. But, I mean, the advantage to that now is that we kind of see how this depth chart would look without McBride on it. And, you know, Perry and Pinoke are definitely the two guys that would benefit from this, it seems like. Ashlock, I think it cements him, you know, as that CFF stud that we have all been hoping for. Knowing that this is Hawaii and we don't get a whole lot of news or information out of there all the time, I think that this is really the one thing that would lock Ashlock into, okay, he's definitely going to see as big of a role as he had last year, maybe more. So that's, you feel good if Ashlock, from a fantasy perspective, if you got him now. But I do think that there's going to be, you know, some fantasy viable option, whether that's Perry, whether that's Pinoke. I know Nishigaya and Tylan Hines are other guys who might benefit from this. It sounds like Hines is definitely reintroducing back into that receiving back role and less of an actual running back role. So it'll be interesting, but we know Timmy Chang wants to sling that ball around, and Shager has proven that he can, and that he can support multiple receivers while doing it. So I think wheels up for, the three receivers I mentioned here with Ashlak, Pinoke, and Alex Perry.
Yeah, I would definitely say that Alex Perry is going to be the guy that I target kind of later in drafts right now, because in addition to him being near the top of that Phil Steele depth chart there as well, if you go back and listen to the G5 Hives interview earlier this offseason with the Hawaii Beat reporter, again, I should have written down his name, but he named Alex Perry as the potential breakout guy. Again, he's a younger guy. It makes sense, right? We haven't seen his full ceiling yet. He's probably the guy I'll take shots on later on in drafts. And as you mentioned, Ethan, like, I did move Ashlak up because of this for right now. Again, again, in combination with what's going on with Utah State, right? I had Ashlak and Royals flip spots there in my top five. Ashlak now at four and Royals now at five. So that's pretty much my fantasy impact there. Those are two kind of, I say, major stories that we'll touch on here. Anything else? I don't think there's really anything else that really was like fall camps really haven't really kicked up yet. So we're going to go ahead and get back onto the main topic of the show. Let's go talk about the underdog best ball competition going on right now. If you're watching this on YouTube, I've kind of thrown up a very condensed version of the rules and how this works and everything like that. But for our podcast listeners, you are going to be thankful that I brought on Ethan today, because Ethan can probably explain these type of contests better than I ever could. So Ethan, I'll ask you, how does this competition work? And really, how is it different than Fantrax Best Balls run by me and others in the community?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the important distinction to knock out here is that Underdog has different types of contests. The Best Bowl Mania contest, which is currently the only college football contest that they have running, is a tournament style playoff included best ball contest. And when I say playoff included, that means that they split the season. The first 11 weeks are going to be just a normal best ball season. And so the top two people after 11 weeks in each of your 12-man leagues that you're drafting out of are going to get bumped up into their quarterfinal round for week 12, where week 12 alone will decide the top two out of that 10-person group that's going to advance to the semifinals. Semifinals, week 13, that's where we're going to see another two of eight advance into the championship week for week 14. And so really it places a huge emphasis on these playoff weeks. One distinction with this college football contest versus the NFL contests are that bye weeks are going to be included in these playoff weeks. And so it's really important to make sure that you're lining up so that you don't have a team that's going to crush it in the regular season and then have half of the team on bye for that first playoff week in week 12. So it's really important to pay attention to those more so than, in the Fantrax best balls that are just accumulative through the entire season. So there's a little bit of an emphasis there with the bye weeks. It also places an emphasis on having correlating plays a little bit as well, because you want to try and maximize the production in those first 11 weeks as well as those playoff weeks. But 11 weeks is really pretty short. It's a pretty much a sprint going to the playoffs. We know that the college fantasy football season is shorter than the NFL season already. But having these playoff weeks just adds an extra element to that. It's going to be a really quick sprint. So you want to make sure that you're maximizing the potential of your offense as well.
Yeah, that's pretty much a basic rundown of it. A couple other things I might add here is, again, as Ethan kind of touched on, right? You're competing against 12 other people in a draft, but in reality, you're competing against what is maximized out at 11,280 other drafts.
Yeah.
So you're not just competing against 12 people in your league. Eventually, once you get to those playoff weeks, you'll get reshuffled into different groups, and you're just hoping to advance against different teams. And those different teams could have the same players as you on different weeks, which is also something to really kind of keep in mind. as you go throughout this, another kind of major difference between this and Fantrax leagues is with Fantrax, right? Your group is kind of off in its own little 12-man league, right? Everybody's shipping in $5 and you do like a winner takes all kind of best ball league, winner gets $60 kind of deal, right? That's the max you're kind of seeing as your payout here. This is massive. This contest, the stakes are pretty incredible here. You get a $10 entry, and by the way, you can put in more than one entry into this contest. You're allowed up to 150 entries. So if you want to put in $1,500 into this contest, Underdog says go right ahead. I would not personally say you should do that, but that is an option for you, right? And so $10 entry, but once you have all these entrants placed in here with this $10,000 entry, they have up to $100,000 in money to split up between the different prizes here, right? So first place, you're getting $20,000. Second place, $10,000. Third place, $5,000. And it keeps going on down from there. Pretty much, if you get in the top 10 of this contest among 11,000 entrants, you're getting at least $1,000. 11th through 20th, $700. 21st through 50th, $500. Probably the more important thing here is that if you make it to the playoffs, you're getting your buy-in back. You get 10. Yep. You get your $10 back for that team. If you make it to week 13, the semifinals there, you're getting $15. And then pretty much if you make it into the championship week, you're looking at a pretty decent payout already for your teams, right? You're getting $200 back. And so at least $200, depending on where you end up in that league. So very, very different kind of expectation people can have in terms of the potential get back they can get from this contest. So a couple of things that people might be wondering about is scoring and what kind of roster construction we're looking at here, Ethan. And so scoring wise, it's half PPR format, 4-point passing touchdowns. There are negative points for turnovers. So -1 for interceptions, -2 for fumbles. And then your roster here, starting wise, you have one quarterback, two running back, two wide receivers, one tight end, one regular flex, so wide receiver, running back, tight end, and then one super flex. So for all intents and purposes, you have a two quarterback league here. And so in the 12 bench spots are 20 round drafts, again, 12 man leagues, and it's power four. It is only power four players right now. And so definitely kind of thins out the player pool a little bit more than some people might remember playing with full FBS leagues. So Ethan, with all of that in mind, you have done quite a few. You've done quite a few of these drafts already. I've only done the one. I did it with my friend at work when he figured out that this was a thing that was happening. He's like, dude, you got to hop in a draft with me. I'm like, all right, I'll go ahead and do one. You've done quite a few of these, a lot more than I have. What, in your opinion, is kind of the best roster makeup? Like, out of 20 rounds, what should your team be looking like by the end of it?
Yeah, there's a lot of a lot of theories right now being tested and floating around. My general build is going to be 5 quarterbacks, 6 running backs, 7 receivers, and 2 tight ends. I believe that's right. And so there's a lot of debate really around tight end and quarterbacks being the two hot button topics. I think that we've seen in this first, I mean, gosh, it feels like these contests have been out for so long and they've only been out for what, 5 days right now. Yeah. But we've seen some people jumping into these that are familiar with the NFL best balls and not realizing that these are super flex contests and they only draft 2 or 3 quarterbacks. And those lineups are dead. There's not a way that you're going to advance through to the playoffs unless something really weird happens. So I think at minimum, you need 4 quarterbacks. If you are planning on rostering 4 quarterbacks, you need to make sure that you have 2 very high-end options, and you need to make sure all 4 of your quarterbacks don't have any overlapping buys, and more importantly, don't have any playoff buys. So that really narrows the gap. You're going to really have to thread the needle if you want to try and make a 4 quarterback build, in my opinion. Tight end is where there's also a little bit of debate going on. I know Chris Moxley personally is he's very much a proponent of the one tight end bill. And he thinks if you grab a top five tight end, that you can survive through this contest with just one, and having it be a fragile construction, and you know your lineup's kind of sunk if that tight end goes down and misses any chunk of time. But assuming that they don't have any playoff buys, there is the option of going solo tight end. I think it's a little risky, a little bit more risky than I'm willing to do. And I mean, you think about the tight end spot, and you're probably on a, at best, in what people doing this solo tight end build are hoping for, you know, tight end, maybe they score 3 points a week if you get a tight end, a backup tight end who's going to fill in for your number one guy. So maybe you're missing out on 6 points minimum between the two bye weeks that they have. But if they were to go off, the potential to have, you know, an extra 30 points in your lineup, maybe the difference between you making the playoffs or not. So, I do think that having that backup tight end, having a second option at tight end, is going to be beneficial. And that's those numbers are even without calculating in, you know, what if your tight end has a bad week and the backup has a better week? It could be an even bigger swing, to help out your daily or your weekly totals there. So, but for the most part, I'm thinking five quarterbacks, two tight ends, and then a smattering at least five running backs. I say six running backs, and then at least six, I say seven receivers there.
Yeah, I would say I think the one league that I did so far, I did the four quarterback build, and I can admit that I probably could have used just one extra one there. But as we kind of will discuss here in a minute, like quarterbacks go off pretty early in these drafts, and
Very
so
early, yeah.
there was weren't many options really left for me by the end of the draft. By the time I kind of made that realization, so maybe I do that again today when we participate in a draft here, right? So, Ethan, you talked about quarterbacks and tight ends, but of all the positions, right, in this contest, which do you think is the optimal position to target early, and what's the optimal position to kind of target later?
Yeah, I do think that there's benefit to grabbing a quarterback early just because they are going off so quickly. I think that, you know, guys like Dylan Gabriel, Jalen Milroe, Garrett Green, these are all guys who are going to be going very early. Hearing those names and first round is something that's probably shocking to a lot of college fantasy football players. But those guys, and even Jackson Dart is, you know, an ADP within the first round of these best ball drafts. Personally, I try to shift my thinking to be a little bit contrarian and go wide receiver early. Only starting two wide receivers is a big deal in my book. I jumped into my first draft, and I assumed that this was going to be a two running back, three receiver starting lineup, but it's not. So I think that if you really target two good wide receivers who you can count on for a solid total weekly, and then kind of backfill later on in the draft, I think that you're doing a good job. Running back is just so deep, compared to all of these other positions, that I feel like running back, and you know, if you're not getting Gadsden or Keithy at tight end, I think that you do have the ability to wait on tight end there too. So wide receivers and quarterbacks are definitely the priority, at the beginning of these drafts.
I would definitely agree. And like you mentioned, people might be surprised hearing like you guys like Milroe and them go off in the first round. There's gonna be some guys that even surprise us in our draft, because again, this is a much wider group of people that are getting involved in this draft than we've really seen in college fantasy in a while. So again, there's gonna be some wild picks in every single draft that you do here, right? But also, we've seen this already a little bit, right? I did a draft with or a Power Four only draft with Chris Battistel on our live stream a couple weeks ago. I did obviously a G5 only one with the G5 Hive guys, and then we just recently finished up an industry Power Four or Power Four only and G5 only draft, and in all of those, quarterbacks went higher than they would normally do in a full FBS draft because there's not 130 teams for you to really
Exactly.
pick between anymore. And so suddenly, if you're looking at four or five quarterbacks among 12 different people, like you start digging in the dirt pretty quickly if you don't hit a quarterback early. So I do think that I still am for like a late round quarterback like pickup. There's some guys that fall in these drafts that we'll talk about while we draft for sure. But I do think kind of getting at least one anchor quarterback in the first two rounds probably makes a lot of sense, just because you don't want to be stuck kind of digging through the dirt on quarterbacks if they go off super early in your draft. Let's see. Anything else I want to mention here? Again, we talked about the basics of the competition, the prizes, scoring, roster. I do want to mention the awesome tools that we already have over at campuskent.com. Shout out to our CFF team, especially Chris Moxley, and of course our wizard behind the scene, Jarek Brakus, for getting this set up. We already have best ball rankings out there that you can download and upload to Underdog, and it'll automatically populate. You won't have to worry about the automatic rankings that Underdog gives you. You don't have to draft off of ADP or anything like that. You have our rankings there ready for you to go and pick up. And quite frankly, it's a huge, huge help. And it definitely helps you avoid some of the bad values that are already there in Underdog ADP, which we will get to here in a second. But in addition to those rankings, we also have a schedule matrix. As Ethan said earlier, the bye weeks matter a ton in a format like this, and you can really, really end up screwing yourself if all of your guys are on the same bye week, or you get too many guys in that week 12 quarterfinal there, right? Like, it's great you made the quarterfinal, but if all your guys are on bye, ain't no way you're making it to the top two in your 10-man group there. And so kind of being able to go through, if you do draft a guy highly that has a week 12 bye, Ollie Gordon and anyone, you can at least then go through this and say, like, okay, who has a good matchup week 12? Oh, Mercer or Alabama's playing Mercer week 12? Let me go grab Justice Haynes. Let me go grab Jam Miller, and that'll kind of fill in those running back spots for that week. Auburn's playing UL Monroe? Well, dadgum, let me go grab some Jarquez Hunter, all right? You can use it like that. You can use it to avoid having guys on the same bye week, and you can also use it to find guys to replace your top-end guys for when they have their bye week. So awesome, awesome tools. Again, shout out to our CFF team for getting those ready to go. So before we get drafting here, Ethan, one thing I did want to kind of run through real quick is something that stood out to me almost immediately when I went in there. Underdog offers their own ADP and they offer their own projections and rankings. And I spotted immediately some really, really bad projections and values. And some of them, even though ADP has shifted quite a bit recently, some of these guys are still going really, really high. And so we'll go ahead and throw up on the screen here. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll know every player we're about to talk about here. But Ethan, who are some guys that really kind of stand out to you as some bad values in Underdog fantasy right now?
Yeah, so Will Howard was the first name that I had on here. I think that he's in kind of a no man's land of quarterbacks who are being pumped up. He is currently going 62.7 is his ADP in these drafts. So first of all, we know that technically this is a quarterback battle that he's in. Now, we do assume that he's likely going to be the starter. But that being said, in a Chip Kelly offense that we don't really know how the passing game is going to line up necessarily, it just seems like he is being inflated by this positional value. Some guys that he's in front of that I don't agree with. Noah Fifita is going 68th in ADP. I think Fifita, despite not having as much running upside, I think that they're going to be throwing the ball around enough to make up the difference there. So he's going later. Riley Leonard is going 70th in ADP right now. Miller Moss and Preston Stone, Grayson McCall, all guys. McCall, the latest of those, going 82.5 with his ADP. I just can't see going Will Howard that early when those options are going to be available for you later. Like I said, it's kind of in that area where if you didn't grab early quarterbacks that you feel like you need to grab a name that's going to have some merit. And so I think that these guys who aren't as familiar with the college game, they see Will Howard, they see Ohio State quarterback, they say, okay, I'm gonna lock in Ohio State's quarterback here. That's a great foundation for my team. When in actuality, there are just much better options, and I think safer options that offer much better upside too. So he's the first name here. I didn't know if you want to give yours or you want me to keep going through the rest here.
I'll give my first one here, and I'll just say with Will Howard, at least with Will Howard, right? Like, you're getting a dual threat quarterback, right? At least somebody we know can be a dual threat quarterback versus some of the other guys in the range here, right? Like Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck. Those are very much pocket passer only guys. You don't really offer a ton with the rushing upside. I know they both can run a little bit, but that's not their MO, right? Sure. With Will Howard, he can run. Now the question will be, will Ryan Day let them run Will Howard? We know Chip Kelly's okay with running a quarterback, but will Ryan Day let him is the question, right? So
Especially when you've got Devin Brown, who can probably run a little better. And I don't know. I feel like if they really want to run the ball, I feel like packages will be made for Brown too.
nope, totally understandable. I'll throw out my own quarterback here that I think is going too high, and quite frankly, going even higher than Will Howard here. Maybe it was probably the first person you were thinking of, Ethan, when you were putting together your list, but I already took him. But Haynes King, man. Yeah, he's top 12 quarterback in CFF, especially best ball, right? Because in CFF, right, we can kind of account for bye weeks. We like the playoff weeks aren't nearly as important because in Fantrax best ball, right, when you're just going all 14 weeks here, you know, week 12 is just another week for those kind of best ball leagues. But in this format, where this is the difference between you getting $15 or $10 versus $15 versus 200 plus, Haynes King is a horrific value right now. His ADP is at 305 in these drafts. Again, he has 3 bye weeks during this. He has Georgia and NC State in 2 of the playoff weeks after his bye in week 12. He's basically undraftable. He has to be going, or he needs to be dropping at least a 4 or 5 more rounds here in this format for me to even be touching him right now. He is absolutely a guy that can get you through the regular season for the most part, right? He is someone that'll get you to the qualifiers. Problem is, that's a very unfortunate thing to have to draft in the first 3 rounds, and I can't justify it whatsoever. Because if he's not gonna win me this whole thing, why am I drafting him that high?
I totally agree. I mean, so he's going quarterback 12 in their ADP right now. So that means that they're projecting that somebody would have him as their top quarterback, theoretically. You know, QB 12 is that, you know, QB1 for every team. On top of that, though, the fact that these contests, they so the start date of the competition is technically week 0. So it starts, they finalize contests close right before week 0 starts. But week 0 is not included in the contest. So you don't accumulate points for week 0. That's big because Georgia Tech plays Florida State week 0. So that's a week that you lose out on, and then having two byes through round 1 while also having a bye in that first round of the playoffs. I mean, it's very difficult to justify a starting quarterback. Honestly, I mean, I tend to think he's on my do not draft list because I don't think he's going to fall far enough. Even after people make adjustments from this, I don't think he's going to fall far enough for me to consider him in my builds.
All right, Ethan, your second guy here, who you got?
Yeah, I've got Omarion Hampton. And don't get me wrong, Hampton is a good player. But he's going off the board as running back 2 in these contests after Ollie Gordon. His ADP is 6.2. So really, you're getting Ollie Gordon, Tet McMillen, Dylan Gabriel, and Luther Burden as the only players who have a higher ADP than him right now. I don't even think that Omarion Hampton is in my top 5 running backs in this format. I think Gordon, Giddens, Neal, Maffa, and Taylor, maybe Jaden Ott, are all in contention there. I think Omarion Hampton falls in that Taylor Ott, Jordan James bucket for me. He definitely has, you know, built-in safe floor. But you know, I want a little more out of that. And I think that, you know, having to draft him as your first pick early in the first round, when you can either lean into quarterback with Milroe or Green, or you can lock in, you know, if Tet or Burden falls. I just have a really hard time justifying going running back that early when you know that early second, even late second, you're going to have an option that can pretty much pick up a decent comparison sample of what Hampton's going to bring you.
I mean, I fully justify him being RB2 in this format, right? Again, he was RB2 last year. He ran for almost 6 yards a carry on 254 attempts. And if you know anything about the law of diminishing returns, the fact that he was getting 6 yards per pop even after that many carries, that is a very impressive amount to have. 15 touchdowns on 1,500 yards. So you're not even really worried about touchdown regression there. probably the biggest thing you're kind of worried about, right, is, well, you're downgrading quarterback from Drake May to Max Johnson, right? Maybe the offense isn't nearly as efficient. That's quite possible, but I also think that makes it more likely they rely on Hampton even more, especially with Max Johnson not really having any kind of rushing, or he does have rushing ability, but he's not Drake May in that format, right? So I think the floor is, I don't think that's the argument against Hampton. For me, the argument against Hampton is what we kind of touched on earlier. Quarterback and wide receiver are probably more important for you to target here in this first round. He's not Ollie Gordon, where Ollie Gordon scored 50 more fantasy points than him last year. And Ollie Gordon was RB1 and Hampton was RB2. There's a massive gap between those two. I still think Gordon is worth a first round pick in this format. But Hampton, I think, should be kind of falling later in the ADP, where, like you kind of said, where Giddens, Neal, Maffa, and all of them are going. I still think Hampton's worth being that RB2 role, or RB2 over those guys, but I agree with you, just by positional value, can't do it. All right, hit up my next guy here. I'll try to be quicker about this because obviously the draft is going to take a while itself. So Jeremiah Hunter is my next guy here. His ADP is at 73.8. That puts him at the beginning of the seventh round there. This is, again, people just really not catching up from what we've learned this offseason from Washington. The assumption going into the offseason was that Hunter would be the number one guy because only him and Giles Jackson were really the only two receivers on that roster with any real experience. Since then, we've become well aware of Denzel Boston, who has dominated spring and then in the spring game caught 7 balls, 129 yards, and a touchdown there. And I wish I had my... I wish I had my ADP pulled up here. Yeah, Jeremiah Hunter, again, he's going off. I don't know what number wide receiver this is, but Boston is going off almost a round and a half later than him right now. And Boston's clearly the better value out of the two. And quite frankly, we don't even know if Hunter really will even be that much of a fantasy option this year. It could just be the Boston show. Seventh round, that you're talking your second wide receiver, maybe third if you're going wide receiver heavy build early on. It's just not happening. Don't take Hunter this high. He doesn't go this high in full FBS drafts. He doesn't go this high in any of the Power 4 only leagues that I've been in recently. This is a bad value. Go with Boston instead. That's all I got to say. Ethan, respond, I guess, and then touch on your last guy here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. Why go after Hunter when Boston is going later? There are a lot of other good guys there too that are going later than him in that same round as Boston, with, you know, Josh Kelly, Zachariah Branch, Jordan Moore, really better wide receiver names that I think are safer and again offer just as good of upside, if not better than Hunter. So my last guy here is Donovan Edwards, and I'm trying to pull up, looks like his ADP is 25.8. This is a situation much like the one that you just mentioned with Hunter, where I just find the options that are going, you know, around later to be better options in my book. I view Donovan Edwards similarly to the way I view Hampton, with, you know, a little bit less upside. I think he's got a really safe floor. I think they are going to rely on him quite a bit at Michigan. But I know his limitations, and I personally just am not crazy about it. When he's going, you know, 25th in drafts, and you've got Damian Martinez, RJ Harvey, Quinshon Judkins, CJ Baxter all going around 40th. You've got LaQuint Allen, Abu Sama, Kyle Manungai going between 45 and 49th. These are all guys that I think are similar package as what Edwards offers. But I just, you know, I can get them later. So I am going to justify going at a different position, going quarterback, going, you know, Gadsden at tight end over Donovan Edwards, or getting a receiver. You know, there's guys like Concepcion, Pauling, Aome Noor, Jeremy Bernard, all of these guys who offer, I think, better positional value going early. And then also, you know, it just helps you build a more rounded team. So not on Donovan Edwards at all, his current ADP.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight you on this one at all. He was one of the guys that I was considering putting down on my list, but I ended up going a different direction here. The last guy I'm going to touch on here is a guy that's actually going pretty late in these drafts. Again, we're talking about 15th round here, so some people might be saying, like, oh, Jared, like, why are you hating on a guy going in the 15th round of these drafts? Well, that's because I legitimately think that this is a wasted pick. Tyler Brown, wide receiver out of Clemson, ADP 169, again, 1502 here. He is rated as the best wide receiver for Clemson in these projections from Underdog. He's currently going the highest in ADP for the Underdog drafters right now. And quite frankly, again, I just think there's, again, in a format, especially like you said, Ethan, where, you know, wide receiver dries up so much, when you're hitting on those later wide receivers, you got to go with some kind of safer guys, or you're taking shots on really, really good offenses. And we're not really getting either here, right? Tyler Brown, I don't think he's going to be even the best Clemson wide receiver on Clemson this year, right? He's ranked ahead of Antonio Williams. And Antonio Williams, in my opinion, is a better receiver. He's gotten more buzz this offseason. And he plays in the slot ahead of Tyler Brown when he's healthy. Speaking of health, Tyler Brown has missed a good chunk of spring practice and missed the spring game due to a foot surgery this offseason. He is now behind, as Antonio Williams has really kind of locked down that slot position. Now, granted, they can go four wide, right? It's Garrett Riley. They're going to have four wide receivers out there sometimes, but he's not going to be the number one option for when they need a slot wide receiver out there, so long as Antonio Williams is healthy. This is so much based off of the fact that Tyler Brown is the leading receiver returning from Clemson last year, and I think that people are going to fall into a trap there. Again, it's 15th round, so maybe it's not the end of the world. If he's going even higher than this, probably a big problem. But I literally saw him there on my first draft that I did with my friend from work, and he looked at Tyler Brown. He's like, "Oh, Clemson wide receivers, they usually put up a lot of points." Well, one, again, it's Garrett Riley. Now they spread the ball around a ton more than they have in the past. But also, two, that's the kind of thinking that people go into these drafts with sometimes. Like, oh, Clemson wide receiver, they're usually pretty good. Tyler Brown's the number one guy. Let me just go draft him. No, don't do it, especially when we have Bryant Wesco and TJ Moore coming in, and we don't really know how much they're going to impact this wide receiver rotation this year. Just don't worry about drafting Tyler Brown.
Yeah, I agree for the most part. I will say Clemson, their schedule matches up very well for this format, bye weeks in week 3 and 9, which are not popular bye weeks. And then with Pitt, Citadel, and South Carolina for their playoff matchups, it's definitely appealing, but no doubt I would much rather have Antonio Williams over Tyler Brown in this situation. And honestly, if you don't get either of them and you're feeling, you know, you're willing to take a flyer late in the game, I even think there's value in going, you know, a Wesco flyer late in the game. Wide receivers with foot injuries are not something I like to invest in.
All righty. Quick honorable mention I'll throw out here. I only reason I didn't have him in my top three is because I just talked about him a couple weeks ago on the show where we were talking about guys going too high with Nate Marquise. And so Trey Harris is another bad value in my opinion. Again, he's going off at 212. He's being taken ahead of Kevin Concepcion, Will Pauling, Alec Iomanoir. If you guys want my full breakdown as to why that is a horrific value, go listen to that previous episode. It should be out about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I lose track all the time. Ethan, any other honorable mentions you want to throw out there as bad values?
Oh gosh, I know I threw a few on the sheet. I don't have it pulled up right now, but it's definitely kind of Wild West out there late in the draft. So
on the sheet here, I got Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck. Again, seems like, again, 4-point passing touchdown. Two guys that are going probably too high for that format, given that scoring format.
And it's that quarterback no man's land that I view. Same argument I laid out for Will Howard for those guys. They're just in an area where I really think that you can wait another round or two and just go with guys who are later in ADP.
All righty. Well, that kind of gives you guys a breakdown of the new Underdog Fantasy format. We are going to spend the second half of this show. Ethan and I will be hopping into a Underdog draft together, and we'll record our reaction as we go through. It should be about, they're usually about 30 to 40 minutes to take up the whole time. So we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to pause the recording and we'll throw it right back up as soon as we actually get this draft started. Till then, see you guys there. All right, guys, we are back and we are in our draft. We've got a couple of our buddies in here. I see Chris K in here. Andrew Katz in here as well. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've recognized really anybody L's. Ethan, where are you at? I'm at the 1.6. What are you?
I'm at 104.
104. Right, okay. So you're El Gambino.
Yeah.
All right, sorry, y'all. We got our first couple of picks already in, and I had to edit out. Had some technical difficulties getting the draft board up on the screen, but we are started here again. Ethan, you're at the 1-4 there. You took Tet McMillan as your first guy off the board here.
Yep.
Do you have our Campus Canton rankings loaded up, ready to go?
I do. I've got them loaded in here. I was hoping for Burden to fall, because just with the injury information with Tet, I'm a little antsy about it, but
all right,
just
I'm now
at 3. So
yeah, Burden was never going to make it past 1-3, I don't think. I'm on the clock now. I'm thinking about potentially hitting up the running back we talked about earlier, but you know what, I said it and I'm going to stick to it. I want to go ahead and load up on quarterback here, and unfortunately that's going to be my one major quarterback off the board here. I'll see what kind of falls back to me here at wide receiver, maybe running back. I don't know. Definitely immediately feel like I'm reaching off the bat here, but the two wide receivers that I really wanted here in the first round are both gone. And usually I can find at least one really good player to kind of fall to me here in the second round at wide receiver. So we'll see what I can get.
Any reason for Green over Milroe?
No. I'll be real, not much. I actually probably should have gone Milroe, because I actually do like Milroe a little bit better. I just panicked a little bit.
Oh, I feel you. These 30-second drafts are wild.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Nate was already making fun of us, being like, "You're gonna record and do a 30-second draft at the exact same time." And I'm like, "Yep, that's exactly what we're gonna do."
He clearly wasn't joining the live streams that CFF team was putting out earlier this week. Doing those,
oh yeah,
flying through. That was wild.
I'm going to open up this draft board just a little bit more so that people can actually see the whole thing. Oh, shoot, I'm on the clock. Dadgummit. Oh, cool. Restrepo's here. I'll take him. Perfect. That's a guy I've seen going off in the first round in a couple of these, so I'm happy to get him here in the second round. So definitely would feel a little bit better if I was doing Milroe and then Restrepo, but, you know, already making mistakes. You love to see it. All right, you went Darius Taylor. Good value that falling to you there in the second round.
For sure. I mean, I think he's running back 4-5 at worst with this format, and I'm through the roof about having him fall here. And Chris K, the guy who I said is overrated at Donovan Edwards. So fun to see.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, little homerism. Maybe, you know, I did tell him that maybe he should draft poorly in this one. Maybe he is taking me up on that.
I don't know if that's necessarily what's happening, but yeah, as we can see already, quarterback drying up so dang quickly. Like, you guys can't see my rankings here, but we're already down to really there's still some good options here, and if there's a guy there in the fourth round, I'll go ahead and load up on that's one of the guys I was looking at there. KJ Jefferson coming off the board at 212. But how many quarterbacks have we had now, right? This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 quarterbacks in the first two rounds. And honestly, that's kind of a low number for a lot of these drafts. So,
yeah. And I know Drones isn't getting past Chris K. So,
yeah, no, Drones will be gone here in the next three picks. There's Trey Harris. I still think it's a bad value there. But you know what? I'm happy about it, because I now pretty much am guaranteed almost at least one of the three guys that I'm looking at. Or I say three guys. There's more than that. One of the guys that I'm looking at here is probably going to make it down to me.
Well, Cade doesn't go with Drones.
Cade does not go with Drones. That is a very surprising development.
And it's probably due to his bye week being week 12.
Yep.
So I'm in a tough spot, because I already have Darius Taylor with a week 12 bye. But I'm going to pull the trigger on Drones anyway, because you got to get there first. So
no, we'll, for sure.
We'll plan around it now, knowing what I've got in the future.
So. Let me look up real quick. Ooh, that's not the best, but you know what? At least he's playing that week. So I'm going to go ahead and take one of my boys here, load up on two wide receivers early in this format. Got a top end quarterback, got two top end wide receivers. Give me Will Pauling, my boy out of Wisconsin. Phil Longo slot. Oh my goodness. Can't even say it right anymore. But I'm actually pretty happy with this start. Again, probably, again, still regretting the Milroe, letting him slip by me. But even still, like, this be a start that I'd be mostly happy with in a Power 4 league regardless, right?
For sure.
Like,
yeah.
Pauling, Restrepo, Green. I'm pretty dang happy with that. And given the fact that where things are going, I think I'm probably going to get at least one guy that I'm going to be super happy about coming back to me here in the fourth round. But definitely, again, it's interesting in these drafts, right? Because like in most
we'll see,
other...
We'll see how they shake out.
It's interesting to me, like in most other drafts, right? I am usually one to hit on RBs early. But right now, like... I'm feeling kind of okay with not having hit a running back so far because I'm looking at some of the guys that are available. Thank God we're not doing this live. Otherwise, there'd be a run of running backs going off right now. But I'm looking at three guys here that I'd be surprised if they make it back to me, but I'd still be pretty dang happy if they do. And given where everybody else is kind of going right now, maybe I get pleasantly surprised here. So, what about you? How are you liking your start? You got
Drones, Tet. Taylor, and Tet.
Yep.
So got one of the three positions here that are my focus. So I really think that there's a lot of running back value on the board, which makes me think that I may be looking receiver or potentially quarterback. Probably looking receiver and running back here with my next two picks. But I do think we're going to get a run here with receivers
potentially soon. There was Presley. He was one of the receivers I was thinking about grabbing if I wanted to hit three wide receivers early, just kind of load up on that position. But I don't think that's necessarily going to happen here. I'm happy, I think, unless Wakey Wakey and Andrew Katz here really hurt my feelings with these next two picks. Because
well, Wakey Wakey is he's known in the daily fantasy streets. He is in just about every draft I've seen, he goes.
My none guy comes off the board, but that's okay. I'll take LaQuinn Allen as my compensation there, as my first running back off the board.
That hurts.
That hurts. Nice. You were looking at LaQuinn
for sure. Was looking at LaQuinn there. Let's do some quick bye week work here.
Yes, very important to keep track of your bye weeks in this format.
Oh, this sucks.
I'm going to go ahead and load up on some more at a certain position here. You got to be careful.
I want Salchuk. I don't like it. He's got a week 12 bye. This is really not ideal.
not a very ideal build so far.
No, I've got three of my top four guys with a week 12 bye. So.
Dadgummit. Cook coming off the board. Oh, Cook and Lacey back to back there hurt. I was really hoping I could get one of them to fall back to me, but c'est la vie. Let's see. What are we looking at? Again, has Gaston come off the board yet?
Yeah. He went 2-6 or 2-7.
2-6. That's crazy to me that he's just that much higher than everybody else. I'm like loading up on three tight ends right now that pretty much are all in the same tier for me, and I'm probably just gonna take whichever one is last of those three. But we'll see how that kind of works out here.
Yeah, I've got two guys who are reaches at their ADP right now, but I'm okay with that, I think.
All right, going to get in a run of running backs. I find it interesting that, like, Judkins and Travion, which, by the way, just got taken back-to-back by the same guy on the turn there. I find it interesting, though, that they are much closer to ADP in this format than they are over at Fantrax. And I actually think the underdog people have it right. They should be going a lot closer together. Kate takes Trevor Etienne. Ethan, you're on the clock. Which direction are you going?
I'm looking at some bye week stuff. I think I'm going... Let's go tight end. We're going Keithy earlier than... About 10 picks earlier than he's supposed to go. But feel better locking that in so that I can get some... I'm going to need to load up at running back and wide receiver with the way my buys have... Mm-hmm. slanted, so I'm going to need to take an extra tight end or an extra running back, so lock in a good tight end so I have some flexibility later on.
Let's see, ADP is telling me to wait on a certain guy that I really want, so you know what, I'm going to take my second quarterback here. I'm going to take Garrett Nussmeier. Just kind of lock in two top guys. I don't love grabbing a pocket passer this early, but like given what we saw out of Jaden Daniels last year, obviously two very different guys. But even if you took Jaden Daniels' entire rushing stat line away, he would still finish in the top 24 of quarterbacks last year in all of CFF and all of FBS. So that probably means that Nussmeier is looking at probably about a QB. Shall we say like 13, 14 finish in this format? And so like if he can just replicate what Jaden Daniels did in the passing game last year, which I think he's more than capable of, I feel pretty decent about that pick. And we'll see what's able to fall back to me here in the sixth round.
Yeah, I considered Nuss as well. He has decent bye weeks. So
he has very good bye weeks. That was one of the things I looked up right before I picked him. I'm like, all right, if I'm going to take my second quarterback this early, better have some pretty decent bye weeks. So, yeah. And again, this is, right, as you said, this is kind of that no man's land of quarterback almost immediately right afterwards, right? Yep. Carson Beck, Haynes King, Jalen Daniels, Will Howard, these are all guys with some serious question marks that, in my opinion, like, there's guys later on in this draft that you're going to feel so, so much better about than what you're seeing right now. And so, oh boy, I'm excited if I can get a certain running back to fall to me here. Wakey, wakey, Andrew Katz, don't break my heart. Nope, yep, that's fine. Take Tootin. That's fine. Take him. Because I want my boy, Cameron Scadabo.
Knew it.
Yep.
Waited.
Yep, Cameron Scadabo is my second running back here. I'm feeling pretty good about it. Again, between LaQuint Allen and Scadabo, you're talking about two guys that might be easily the most productive guys on their entire offenses. Grabbing them here in the fourth and sixth round, respectively. I'm feeling pretty dang good about that. Ethan, you're now on the clock. What are you thinking, man?
I am going Malachi Fields. He's got week five, week 10 bye weeks. I will take that. Hopefully have nice volume to slot in there next to Tet in case Tet goes down. So
I'm going to go ahead and use the tool on campusdecanton.com. And I'm like, what you can do with this tool, by the way, is you can put in every single one of your players at once.
Yeah.
And then you can have just a list there going of all of your different bye weeks. That way you can kind of see already, right? That like between my first, let me go ahead and finish putting in all my guys here. Between my first six picks here.
Oof, Wester just went. That was the other guy that I was hoping would fall back.
There you go. Between my first six picks here, I'm doing pretty dang well on bye weeks. Again, the only guy I have that is in a playoff bye is Restrepo. And the only bye week I really need to try to avoid, I'd say, is maybe week five. Because both Garrett Green and Cameron Scadabo are off that week. And then maybe, yeah, avoiding week 10 as well. But for the most part, like, I got a pretty well-mixed team here when it comes to bye weeks. Now, watch me mess that up over the next couple of rounds here. But I'm feeling pretty good about my draft so far. I kind of like it. Ethan, you just took Riley Leonard as your second quarterback. You like that pick?
I do enough. I getting a little weird. I probably would prefer McCall over Leonard, but McCall has a week 12 bye, and I've got Drones who also has that week 12 bye. So,
alrighty. I think what I'm going to do with my pick here is I'm going to play a little bit of the ADP game. It's definitely going to come back and bite me a little bit, but I'll go ahead and take my third wide receiver here. I'll take Kobe Hudson out of UCF. He's not a guy that I've gotten a ton of in drafts. Why is it not letting me pick? Why? No. Come on. Take him. Okay. That's not who I had at the top of my queue, but thanks, Underdog. But I take Jordan Moore out of Duke. Again, am I thrilled about it? Probably not, or not as much. But, you know, he's a guy that is in a system that has produced wide receiver ones. And there goes Kobe Hudson, dadgummit. that was, I don't know what Underdog was going on about there. I was clicking the draft button as hard as I could on Kobe Hudson. That was who I wanted there. But Jordan Moore, I'm okay with it. He gets my third wide receiver. Should be one number one wide receiver in an offense that needs him to step up this year if they're going to be productive. He's already close to 1,000-yard wide receiver last year. I'll take it.
Kelly, the guy who you were waiting on with ADP?
No, actually, I was going to try to see if I could get either of Moore or Boston to fall back to me in the next round. But yeah. Again, I take more one round ahead. I'm kind of fine with it. Boston coming off with Andrew Katz one pick later definitely hurt a bit.
Yeah.
But it's all good. It's all good. I am going to take my first tight end here, depending on what these guys do to me over the next five picks here. Because that's a position that I'm probably not going to want to... Oh, Cam Cook. Dang it. I was kind of hoping we could get him a little bit later, but it's fine.
No value dropping in this draft.
not much at all. And I literally just put Justice Haynes in my queue.
And I was about to search his bye weeks here, so
immediately gone. Alrighty, and TJ Harden, also a guy I just put in my queue. Like this is getting ridiculous, y'all. All right, I'll take my tight end here. I'll take Luke Lachey. He's my boy. I love a good Iowa tight end. This is right about where his ADP is, so I'll just go ahead and take him off the board here. Ethan, you're back on the clock. What are you looking at, man?
Let's see. I am thinking maybe Marcus Carroll here. I like the idea if he does get the workhorse role there, but we'll lock him in. What I touched on earlier about only needing two wide receivers on a weekly basis, having Tett and Fields, I feel like gives me some flexibility to narrow in on running back and kind of beef out that room, since I do have those two week 12 bye weeks in my running back room.
Yeah, I'm in a similar way. I'm feeling good about having Restrepo and Pauling every single week, and I think Moore is going to have more than enough good weeks on his side to kind of fill in any gaps that might be involved there. Speaking of gaps, I need to go ahead and add in Jordan Moore and Luke Lachey to my list so I can take a look at their new bye weeks. Ooh, two week 12ers between Jordan Moore and Luke Lachey. So I'm definitely going to have to take another tight end at some point in this draft. The question is, do I go ahead and take him now? Because I know for a fact the other tight end I'm looking at is high on there. And, you know, outside of, let's see, let me go ahead and load up my running back a little bit to kind of feel my way through what that's going to look like over the next round or two. I think, yeah, I'm gonna have to hit one of them here. I think in my next pick,
I'm hoping Malusi is gonna fall, but
well, that's one of the ones I was looking at. So that's unfortunate, yeah. Ethan.
And you can take him off your board. He's not getting to you, but
that's fine.
He's not getting to you either, so
that's fine. We'll see if Kay is nice to you here.
Doubtful.
But even look at like the wide receivers now. Like we're already in the range of Nick Anderson, Jalen Noel, Elijah Badger. You're looking at multiple wide receiver twos and different systems coming off, and we're just in the ninth round now. So, all right, Chez Malusi's off the board. That was a quick pick for you. I'm hoping that one of my favorite running backs makes it to me here. Napa Nolan, I hope you're nice to me here. One of my favorite running backs to grab later in these rounds. I'm probably going to end up investing a ton into the system by the end of this draft, but we'll see. Napa Nolan's taking his sweet time here. 3 seconds left. Napa Nolan, let's go. And he made a pick. Who is it? Cool. Not my guy. Give me Corey Kiner. And we'll see real quick if that screws me on the bye weeks.
I think Katz is thinking quarterback here, maybe. He's got one so far.
Okay, not too bad on the bye week from Corey Kiner there, weeks 10, 6 and 10. I already had a couple of teners, but like I think for the most part. Oh. I cannot draft another quarterback with the week 10 bye. I just realized that both Garrett Green and Nussmeier are off on week 10. So that is something I'm going to have to address here in the next couple of rounds. Let me see if a certain player that I have my eye on is someone that I can potentially grab. He has a week 12 bye, but I think I can handle it as long as he can get me something good. What is his? Oh, this is what makes this tool so great. Is I can go like, okay, but what is his week 10? Oh heck yes! I know exactly who I'm going with my next pick. I don't care that it's way above ADP. Like this is gonna work out so dang well.
A little
for
worried.
Me.
I'm gonna have to take the guy off my board here.
I know exactly who I'm going with. I'm just hoping that Katz doesn't take him here. I just realized Katz hasn't taken a single quarterback. Katz is probably going to take my guy here. He's got one quarterback.
But he might have one with Mateer. We assume he'll have one with
Mateer. Yeah, that's true. He's really banking on that.
Yeah, for sure.
I knew it, Katz! I knew it!
That was the last guy on my board, too. I knew
that was going to happen. All right, well, none of the other quarterbacks I'm looking at are really going to be threats to come off in the next round, so I'm going to just go ahead and... 10 seconds left. You know what? Screw it. Grab an extra tight end. Load up on there. Let's grab Jake Burningstool. Two of my top projected tight ends in terms of targets this year. They don't have the same bye weeks. I'm cool with it. That Hoover pick would have been so good for my team. That hurts so much. That hurts so much, Kay. I don't know if you're listening, man, but that hurt. that cut me deep. All right. You take Daniel Jackson out of Minnesota. I love that pick this late, especially considering some of the other wide receivers kind of coming off in this tier.
I think I'm probably capped on my week 12 buys. He has a week 12 buy, so now I've got four guys on that week 12, and I don't really feel comfortable going any deeper on that.
Let's see. Let me look at my team real quick. I have, so far through 10 rounds, we're halfway through the draft. I have three wide receivers, two quarterbacks, three running backs, and two tight ends. So I'm definitely tapped out on tight end. I'm not looking at tight end anymore in this draft. That's just going to be a no-go for me. Running back, I'm definitely looking at. I think that's probably going to be my strategy over the next couple of rounds, is probably filling out wide receiver and running back on some of these guys that are kind of falling right now. Let me take a look at the bye weeks for a certain individual. Make sure that it's not something that's going to really hurt me that much. Okay, 7 and 11. I can handle 7 and 11. So
I have been outspoken that I don't love this guy, but, well, I think I can wait on him. I like another guy better. We're going to go LJ Martin, who's a reach here, but the other guy would have been a reach as well. So
I'm probably going to load up on my third, depending on what Napa Nolan does here, I'm probably going to load up on my third Houston, or, well, spoiled it, my third Big 12 running back here.
Well, that was the guy who I didn't pick because I thought was a bit of a reach, and I'm not huge on. Pick the guy who I'm more favorable on with RJ Martin.
I will take him off your hands here, Ethan. I'll take Parker Jenkins, making sure that you don't have to struggle with that anymore.
Dodging that bullet. That's a release.
So, Ethan, you have three wide receivers through 11 rounds here. Are you thinking about trying to load up on that just a little bit more soon?
Yeah, I feel really good about my running backs right now, even though I've got two of them with a week 12 bye. So I've got Darius Taylor, Gavin Salchuk, Ches Malusi, Marcus Carroll, and LJ Martin. Probably only going to add one more through the rest of this draft. So leaning heavily on receiver and quarterback over the next probably five or six rounds.
That reminds me, I need to start loading up on some of these some of these quarterbacks that'll help me kind of take care of the week 10 bye there. So I'll probably go ahead and take a look at what we can kind of get there. Let's see. We'll start with. Okay. Interesting. Good matchup there for one of the quarterbacks I'm looking at. Let's see. What is... Oh, let me scroll down here. That way people can see. Okay. All right. I'm liking some of the quarterbacks. Week 10 potential here. And then let's see. One last one. We'll take a look at... These guys, he has a week 10 bye as well, so I'm definitely not taking him. He's off my board. For those of you who can't tell, these tools that we have on Campus Academy, again, it sounds like a big old infomercial, but they're so helpful. They're so helpful.
Without at least something comparable. Like, it's It's so quick,
It
30 seconds on the clock.
can save you so much headache by the time, like, if you don't do, if you draft these, drafting these leagues. Okay, well, Andrew Katz would have taken my guy there anyway. I'm gonna go here with Blake Chapin, Mississippi State quarterback. Again, a bit of a reach, but again, ADP does not matter nearly as much right now. And to his week 10 matchup, you want to guess who they're facing?
Who we got?
UMass.
Oh, yeah, that's
So,
nice.
hallelujah. I will take that to help compensate there, and I'll probably take my fourth quarterback here if he makes it back to me.
I am
Based on
up
his
a
ADP,
reach.
he should, but knowing some of the smart people in this draft, I'm not gonna hold my breath too much. Ethan, you take Allie Jennings there out of Virginia Tech. How are you feeling about that pick?
Not great. I was up against the clock a little bit there. I was planning on going RJ Maryland actually to pair him with Keithy. And he got sniped right in front of me. But it gives me the stack with drones, which, I like the stack in this competition. It's not essential, but it does provide you a little bit of a correlated play with upside. So you're hoping that they have a big week together. It is a week 12 bye though again, and so now I've got two receivers, two running backs and a quarterback out on week 12. So it's tough sledding.
Definitely tough sled. And Aiden Childs came off the board there at 12-11. That was who I was kind of hoping would come back to me here. Again, ADP is so hard to keep up with a little bit because, again, there's not really a ton of great options here. And I probably am about to reach heavily, or maybe I just, again, there's not really a ton of guys I love in this range. Maybe I load up on running back here. Just again, take the guys or the values that are falling right now. And we'll see what happens. But Ethan, you take Keyshawn Allen out of Penn State. That was one of the guys that I was kind of eyeing there. I'm
Yeah,
gonna.
I really want to load up on quarterback and receiver, but I just don't love any of them in this range. I feel like I'll still have guys there that I like towards the end here for at least for wide receiver. Quarterback's really slimming down, but
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and take one of my guys,
yeah.
a lover of all of us here, or somebody that we all love here at campus of Canton, Cedric Irvin, running back out of Stanford. I was looking between him and another running back that technically this other running back should have been off the board already. And Ethan, I'm surprised that you didn't take him because he's a favorite of yours.
Owens.
Not Owens.
Let's see who's on the board here. Oh, Jordan Waters. Yeah, I
So
do love Jordan Waters.
I was kind of surprised
He's a
that.
week 12 bye though.
Oh, that'll do it. Speaking of which,
Yeah.
let me check out what I just drafted Irvin without even checking to see what he had. Ooh, well, I mean, I don't need him for week 10, but he has a week 11 bye. That should be fine. I should be able to handle that for the most part.
I don't love the fact that I want Allen seeing another guy on the board here that I do like. But we'll see how it goes coming around here.
All right, let me go ahead
I think you've
and
got another one in front of me, otherwise I'd be more vocal here.
I do have another one in front of
Yeah.
you here, so I'm glad you're not spoiling it for me. Or
Okay.
I could reassure you and tell you that he's gonna make it back to you.
Yeah.
All right, let me check out here. Okay, so Blake Chapin does have a week 12 bye, but considering that I'll have Garrett Green and Nussmeier that week, that should be pretty okay for me to weather. Let's see. Any other week 12ers that I really got to worry about? I should probably take more wide receivers here soon because I only have three and we're in round 14 right now.
I confirm you should take a wide receiver here.
I could take a running back here. Even though there's a week 12 bye with, as you just mentioned, with one of them, but I don't want either one of these quarterbacks slipping away to me, because they both have pretty solid week 10 matchups here, especially one of them that I know for a fact that K probably has his eye on here. So we'll see.
Ooh,
But again, look,
wakey
wider's.
wakey. Took Klubnik. That's why I really think it back. Should have gotten over Allen, but
Oh, I'm on the clock. Dadgummit, gotta do this fast. Oh, baby. All right, I'm taking my shot. I love Josh Meredith, but Chris Hudson's going here several rounds after him. And honestly, as my second backup wide receiver, there's a ton of upside there, and that's what you got to shoot for in this kind of, because I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, there's just a ton of upside if he does win that slot job at Wazoo.
Totally get that.
So, Ethan, who's your guy?
I don't love it, but I'm going to go Peyton Thorne here. I need quarterbacks. I feel like Kay going Jordan Waters is just retribution for me grabbing Peyton Thorne. So
I was trying to play the ADP game with Thorne. That didn't work out for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a reach, but every quarterback's a reach, it seems like, if you want to lock up the position.
All right, let me see. I need to go check to see what this back to the drawing board for quarterbacks for me. Let's see what week 10. Oh, that's not a good matchup.
Oof.
Nobody really. Well, see what you've got on week 10. Not fantastic, but not the worst.
I'm up a creek. I'm gonna. We talked about this guy earlier, Antonio Williams. Grab a ham
there. Sigh.
Yeah.
All right, I'm on the clock now, dadgummit. Again, ADP tells me that I should take him later, but like I'm sick and tired of all my quarterbacks being sniped on me. It's not a great matchup in week 10. He's got Oklahoma State, but I'll take Sam Leavitt out of Arizona State. Hopefully Kenny Dillingham can work magic again. Not sure exactly how much he'll get me in the rushing department, but as my fourth quarterback, I'll take it.
I totally get it.
Now let's see if I can. Let's see what I'm looking like on bye weeks. Let me get an update on that. And then who is the last? Oh, yeah. Leavitt. No more. 25. Okay, so Leavitt's actually. Arizona State's got some nice bye weeks here with 5 and 9. So that helps me out a ton there, because now I don't have to worry about one quarterback being out week 12 for me. So,
man, you can really draft yourself into a corner with these bye weeks. I've done that.
Really could. I remember I did mine, and I had way too many week 12 buys with some of the running backs that I was taking on early. I think I took both Ollie Gordon and Taj Brooks, which both have week 12 buys with my first two picks in the last draft I did. And let me tell you, that did not feel good afterwards.
Yeah,
did not feel good at all. Definitely should load up on some wide receivers here, though. Very little guys out there that I still love. But I can probably stack myself with here.
In some dangerous territory with quarterbacks.
Yeah, quarterbacks. I think I've got my four. I'll take a fifth if the right guy falls to me. But for right now, I think I'm going to go and stack. Again, ADP is telling me I should wait. But, you know, we're in the, 16th round? Doesn't matter nearly as much here. Pulling the trigger. Give me Kevin Coleman. I'd rather have Kelly Akari, who went off about three rounds earlier, but I'll take it. Again, this is partially why, like, it's so important in my opinion to hit wide receivers. Like, getting two wide receivers in your first three or four rounds, I think is massive.
Yeah,
in this, sure. Like you said, because once you feel I feel so much better taking shots on guys like Chris Hudson and Kevin Coleman, knowing that I have a trio of wide receivers early on between Pauling and Restrepo and more that I can rely on week to week to week. And the rest of these guys are just all about upside each of those individual weeks. So,
yeah.
Ethan, you took Jacoby Lane out of USC. I like the pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those offensive plays where you're going scheme and hoping that he gets a little bit more volume than he might be projected for right now.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and put in Kevin Coleman to my list. Go ahead. I'm going to put my number one guy that I'm kind of looking at receiver here. See if he's going to hurt me too much on. Oh, no. Those are nice, nice bye weeks. Those are nice, nice bye weeks. I'm looking forward to that. Ooh, I love the Alex Orji pick there by Chris K. That was a good one there.
I considered him at the last pick, but he's a week 12 bye. So.
Ah, that is unfortunate. Ethan, who are you looking at here?
Let's see. I was looking Garrett Oakley, but his bye weeks conflict with Keithy. It is a scramble over here. I'm drafting blind on a bye week. I don't know what Keanu Hill bye week is, but
It's always the best picks.
yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and take my next wide receiver here. J. Michael Sturtevant hopefully has a bounce back season from last year. New coaching system there. Eric Bieniemy's leading there, so I'm hoping that they recognize Sturtevant as their best wide receiver. Maybe I double down on UCLA. See, maybe I grab Aloya near the end, but for right now, I think I'm pretty okay with that.
Well, you love to see when you pick blind that he has the exact same bye weeks as Brant Keithy, 62.
No, that's so unfortunate, Ethan.
I promise I'm usually much more prepared for these drafts.
I
That feels
mean,
so
again, we're recording, we're doing a 30-second draft. We're trying to do bye weeks and like keep up with our cues at the same time. It's a lot of
bad.
things going on at the same time, so I don't blame you, man.
It is nuts. So I'm gonna have to go three tight ends, which I really hate, but this lineup's probably dead anyways,
That's
so
very, very unfortunate. I'm looking at some of the running backs that are still available, and quite frankly, there's not a lot that I still love, so maybe that kind of forces me into grabbing another one here. But because I do, there's one guy that I do like quite a bit. And let me take a look at my, I got time. Let me take a look at my running backs here. Week 11, week 11, week 10, week 9, week 8, week 3, 5. Breathe. Okay, so 3 and 11 are what I'm going to try to avoid here. Oh God, stop picking so fast, K. Or no, not K. Cats, hold on.
Oh, and Mitchell goes. I wanted to stack him with Leonard, so I'm.
Okay, let's see. Right, do this quickly. What are your bye weeks? Week 10. We can work with that. All right. Wrong. There we go. All right, took my last running back there. I think I'll take Demond Claiborne. He's a guy I like out of Wake Forest. I'm as my sixth running back on this team. I'm liking it. Ethan,
Let's
you got three more picks, Ethan. What are you looking at?
gonna go Cam Coleman. I pairing him with Thorne. If I think Thorne is gonna be anything worth his salt, I feel like grabbing the wide receiver one is a decent grab there.
No, I like that pick quite a bit. Again, I'm more okay with stacking in this format than I am in like regular best balls, right?
Oh, for
Because again,
sure.
the player pool is just a little bit or quite a bit shallower than what we're used to. And so like trying to double dip on some of these offensive systems that you believe in is kind of the way to go. Again, I don't love grabbing number two wide receivers, right? Because I got Kevin Coleman with Blake Shapen, and I don't even think Shapen or Coleman will be the number one guy. Like I said, I'd rather have Akari, but in
Yeah.
this format, I'm a bit more okay with it. And one of the guys that I'm looking at here, again, let me just double check my bye weeks here because I know for a fact he has the same bye weeks as one of my quarterbacks. Yeah, we should be okay. We should be okay. He's only missing one other week with one other wide receiver, and it's during the quarterfinals. No playoff bye weeks among them. So yeah, I'll go ahead and stack. I'll stack Xavion Thomas. Wide receiver at LSU, sack him with Garrett
Like it.
Nussmeier. If again, I've been impressed with Thomas since his time at Mississippi State. I was kind of hoping that he would really turn into something over there. Obviously, things have not worked out the last 2 years just because, Mike Leach passing away and then Zach Arnett being a complete bust as a head coach. And so hopefully we get to see him in a lot more dynamic offense over there. And it sounds like he is rotating with the ones over there. So I'm pretty stoked about that. All right, let me take my time here, see if I can find just one more quarterback that I could be pretty okay with here in week 10. I think that's kind of what I have to do here now, because let me see, Kentucky, it's not the greatest in the world. Oh, I shouldn't have said it out loud, but never mind. Ethan,
You pick ahead of
Ethan's,
me. You're
I would
good.
say I'm ahead of Ethan, so that works out. And then let's see what these guys got. Oh heck yeah, I'm doing that. All right, I know who I'm going with. I know who I'm going with. He wasn't great last year, but I do think this is somebody we probably need to talk a little bit more in college fantasy for the most part.
He's got volume, right?
not necessarily volume, but he, like, again, he was in an offense that scored a ton of points last year, but granted, it was their top running back that was taking so many of the scoring opportunities. I do wonder if they balance out a little bit more this year, especially in a weaker Big 12 here. So
you're talking about the same guy, and I view him as a decent volume play. He really slung it, especially late in the season.
He just didn't have the touchdowns to go with it, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm taking him. As long as Katz isn't mean to me here. Yeah, go ahead and take him off your board.
Yeah.
So we're talking about Alan Bowman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I'm taking Alan Bowman here as my fifth quarterback. I'm actually liking that a lot as my last pick here. I'm going to go ahead and prepare myself, get myself a zen for when Wakey Wakey or Andrew inevitably take it off here. Yeah, Katz, it feels... No, Katz loaded up on, like, how many quarterbacks there in the middle? Four quarterbacks?
He
took Raiola. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Yes, Alan Bowman is my last pick. I will take it.
All right, since I have Malachi Fields here, I'm going all upside, high risk, because this is probably a dead lineup anyway, and going Calandria.
All righty. Even though he probably doesn't start this year.
I don't know about that. We'll see. I still think he's the better quarterback between him and Musket. I think it's a situation of the coach going with the safer option, the guy who's going to protect the football a little bit better. But
potentially. All righty. Well, we have one more pick here to go, but then I will keep the draft up on the screen for just a little bit longer. And I'm going to go ahead and put in my last two guys into our Campus Canton tool, just to compare bye weeks and stuff like that, make sure I did a pretty okay job. Well, no, never mind. I was about to say, two of the last guys I took both had week 12 byes, but did not. Only Alan Bowman. So I'll have three quarterbacks to play with in week 12, which I think's as best as you can ask for in a draft like this, right? Especially when I took two of them, or my first two quarterbacks both had the same bye week, so I had to pivot to guys with different bye weeks. And I feel like still getting three guys to work with in week 12 is more than good. Okay. For some reason, the draft board is not going to show us that last pick there by, what is it? Malhewap? I don't know if I pronounced that correctly at all. But yeah. So Ethan, we're at the end of our draft here. How are you feeling about this?
I definitely don't love my draft. This is probably the least I've liked my draft out of all, gosh, probably like 12 or 13 that I've done already. So I ended up not going with a third tight end. I'm just rolling with Keithy and Keanu Hill. I feel like, I mean, essentially it's like running out a solo tight end build, but you have the additional variance of week to week. Maybe one of them pops off when the other doesn't. So I don't hate that, but just a lot of week 12 buys that I don't love. Quarterback, you know, Kyren Drones, Riley Leonard, Peyton Thorne, Hudson Card, Calandria. I feel like it's a pretty decent room, but when you get into the weeds and you actually focus in on the buys, it starts getting a little messy.
I have to say that I like my draft better this time than I did my first time. Granted, again, that's only two drafts I'm comparing to, but last time I only had the Campus Canton rankings, and that was great because, again, like I said, it filtered out a lot of the bad values, in my opinion, that come with the default rankings. But in addition, like me actively utilizing this bye week, like the schedule matrix, seeing the bye weeks on campusofcanton.com as you're drafting your team, being able to compare and contrast all the different guys here, right? Definitely made the experience a lot better. Again, obviously 30-second draft, it's hard to keep up with all of that going on at the same time, but I feel really, really good about my draft because let's see, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people off in week 12, which isn't fantastic, but only one out of my top five picks are off in week 12, which to me is a huge, huge deal going forward. And then as you guys heard me, I had to kind of work my way around week 10 a little bit because of where I went with my quarterbacks early on. But by the end of it, I was able to grab three guys in Blake Shapen, Sam Levitt, and Alan Bowman. Bowman and Levitt will actually be facing each other that week, and I think that should be able to help me out quite a bit. I'm praying to God for a good shootout that week.
No, I think just overall it really shows that value is a little bit more dictated by bye weeks as well, because if you're going early in the draft, if you're able to get some unique bye weeks that aren't, you know, week 12, week 10, I feel like those are kind of the heavy bye weeks. It really does allow you more flexibility to draft value later on in the draft. I got locked into two week 12 buys with Darius Taylor and Kyren Drones, and it really stunted what I was able to do with value. And, you know, 30 seconds to try and compare, okay, who's top of my list? Who is, you know, the best value at ADP? Who do I think is going to last longer? All of those variables, trying to keep up with that on top of bye weeks, you know, having that flexibility at the top of the draft makes it so much easier later on to be able to navigate.
I agree 100%. All righty. That pretty much brings us to the end of our show, Ethan. Oh, wrong thing. I'm trying to bring up end of the show. Oh my gosh. Oh, well, we're doing it raw. Again, appreciate you coming on, Ethan. Anything that you're working on that you're working on now or getting ready for in-season content, that's like right around the corner, surprisingly.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So anything you got working on that you want to share with the people?
Yeah. So I do have a best ball article out that dropped earlier this week about strategies, transferring strategies from NFL best balls to college fantasy best balls. So that is already up. I know Chris K is pumping out a whole bunch as well. My DFS brother, Chris K. We are planning on doing a best ball podcast that will drop this week. If you're listening to this on Monday, we are actually recording it probably in a few hours or maybe just a little bit earlier from you right now. So that I believe is just going to be called the C2C Campus to Canton Underdog Best Ball Show. Despite Chris K's best efforts of naming it Ballin' with My Besties, that will always be the unofficial title. So if you see us mention that as well, you know what we're talking about. So, lots of in-season content. Chris K and I are going to be doing our Campus to Cashing podcast again for DFS, which may touch a little bit more on underdogs since they're getting more more DFS or more college football centric, which is really cool. But the usual DFS in-season articles, we're about 3 weeks away from really having to start cranking those out. So you can catch all of those on campusdecanton.com.
All righty. Again, a lot of great stuff there coming from Ethan. Ethan, appreciate you coming on and helping us talk about this new format for the college fantasy folks out there. With that, we come to the end of our show. I want to thank everyone out there for listening. If you have not already, go ahead and leave a like, comment, and subscribe. If you're watching this on the YouTube side of things, if you're on the podcast side of things, go ahead and leave those five-star reviews that are so incredibly helpful for us. Make sure you guys check out the rest of the Campus to Canton Podcast Network for shows ranging on pretty much anything you can think of related to the college fantasy game, including those awesome shows that Ethan just mentioned. We'll see you guys back here next Monday, where we are going to dive headfirst into our Crash Course series. We will be breaking down the quarterbacks next week, so be ready for that. A great way to catch up if you have not been listening a ton throughout the offseason. So until then, appreciate you guys once again. I hope you guys have a wonderful and blessed weekend. See y'all.